find out what it's like to experience the world from above. Fly your own drone today. DroneCloneExperts.com specializes in high-quality, affordable drones. Now introducing their Limitless 2 model, equipped with a 4K camera for stunning Ultra HD clarity, GPS with precision auto return, and up to 25 minutes flight time on a single charge. Visit DroneCloneExperts.com now and enter promo code RADIO to receive 15% off your entire order. That's DroneCloneExperts.com.
Yo, this is Dyson Knight from the Bahaman, and you are listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, hello everybody. How are you? I hope you are well. I hope you are staying sane during these craziest of times. Welcome to the show. Mike, welcome back to episode 301, Mike. We made it. We lied to the audience. We're back.
Yeah, we were contractually obligated for 300 shows, and our lawyers found out episode 1 is still missing, ergo. And then it auto-renewed, so I think we're on for another 12 years, Scott.
Plus, they found out that you weren't part of, like, 17 of them. And they're like, well, you gotta fulfill that quota, too. So,
and they also found out you were doing meth for some of them. So they enforced the six-month suspension, which basically means you have to do an extra 6 months' worth of episodes,
which is odd. How did they find that out? I don't understand. I think you ratted.
No, I told you, watch where you pee. The government is always watching. You had to go in that truck stop bathroom, like, bro, this smells like government right here, and you didn't listen to me. And
personally, I thought the truck stop bathroom did not smell like government. I thought it smelled like something else. But I mean, to each his own. To each his own. But
depends on who you talk to. But I digress.
Yes. But hello, everybody. Welcome on back. It's good to be back. You know what? I think tonight we're gonna keep things very positive and happy, and lighthearted. Mike, I'm mad at you.
You are.
I am.
Okay.
You know why? Because today was our friendiversary, apparently, on Facebook, or something popped up. It was and I sent you a little quiz to see if, you know, it was like a quiz that you can take on pictures we've been tagged in together, and I sent it over to you, and I didn't get a single response, Mike. I'm upset, and I'm hurt. I'm hurt.
I took it. I figured it would send the results.
It didn't send me anything, Mike. It didn't send me anything. And I didn't do well, just to let you know. I did not do... Did you get?
If it makes you feel any better, I did worse.
So you're saying I won?
Yeah. 5 questions, or most of them having one of 2 options, and I only got 1 right. Nice. I don't even remember which one it was.
Nice. But it was pretty funny. Like, the thing comes up, it's like, you and Mike's friendiversary is today or whatever. And it's like, take a quiz to see how well you, like, know each other. And then it's like all, like, pictures with, like, a million people in them. I'm like, how the hell am I supposed to know where this is from? Or one of them was like, which of these pictures has more likes?
I'm like, I got that one wrong. One was the Carucci one, and one was the Carlos Vera comedy show, if I recall.
Oh, see, I might have got different pictures than you, because I had one of ours from when we got on stage at the place in Nyack, Levity Live, when we went to see.
Okay, that was a different question.
Oh, yep, okay. I don't know if I got a. I don't know. Maybe they give you different questions. Maybe this is like the government testing, where, like, you know, they're not going to give us the same ones.
So, and it made me feel foolish. I mean, we're best buddies to the end, and it made me feel like we know nothing about each other.
Okay, let me specify. I said we were best buddies to the end, and I told you the end was episode 300. So we're on a new rocky path already, because I did not get any response from the Facebook quiz, the friendiversary Facebook quiz. So I'm a little
upset. I have to re-earn your love, buddy doll?
Mm-hmm.
Aw.
Listen, if we're going to even attempt to do another 300 of these, you're going to have to really start working at your part in this friendship.
Oh, well you didn't say replace, work was involved.
I'm going to replace you. My co-host is going to be a drone from our sponsor. It's just going to be a drone hovering.
I would kind of like that. Can they make a drone and we'll get a cardboard cutout on my face and it'll just be floating in the camera staring at you the entire time?
If it got us listens, Berlew, we can definitely make that happen.
If anybody doesn't listen, we'll just send the drone and you'll just see my face outside your window in the middle of the night, you know? That'll teach you for missing an episode, children.
Yeah.
We don't tolerate that. All of them are gems and you will enjoy all.
Well, speaking of gems and episodes, if you're just tuning in, we did just come off our 300th episode, and that was with the one and only Butterbean. Now, listen, the interview was not long, but it was fun. It was like a fun 10, 15 minutes or whatever. And we also brought on Tom Verney, who was a NYPD former detective and whatnot, and we talked a lot about the current situation. So it really was a good episode. So now we move on to 301 here, and we have at least for the foreseeable next 3 weeks, I say we will keep putting out two episodes a week. It might continue. I don't know. Maybe the summer just lets us do two episodes a week while before I have this baby here. The baby might really put a wrench in the podcasting, is what I'm saying.
I mean, that's why I was so against you dating and marrying and having children.
So you were against me dating. You're like, look, you can't date because one day you might have a kid and it might disrupt our flow.
Exactly. I saw like the cartoonish hearts in your eyes as you stared at Alex, and I'm like, uh-oh, this is going to really tear into my podcasting weekend.
In 6 years from now, this is going to really upset me.
I'm like, I know myself. I'm not going to find something new to do in that time frame, so I really cannot chance this occurring. So I tried different things, like I stuffed condoms in Alex's purse, so you'd be like, "What the hell is this?" and all that stuff.
That was you.
I picked up the wrong thing. It was rubber gloves. That's why you didn't get mad at her. Damn it, wrong rubbers.
Oh, plus you put your name on them. I said, please return to Michael Berlew if lost.
What? Well, it was a big box, man. What do you expect? Yep. I mean, I want you to get mad at your wife, and then when you came to get consoled by me, you go, oh, by the way, here it is, bro.
So when I started dating my wife, you saw it as like a threat to your personal life.
Absolutely. I looked into this and I'm like, no good can come of this because I wasn't dating at the time.
Right.
I didn't foresee somebody would love me one day. I mean, you were shocked just as me.
I'm still shocked. I'm still shocked, to be honest.
Yeah. You send a text to Izzy like, seriously? You sure? You sure? I know it's been about 3 years, but really?
Go listen to his Jersey City Joker impression. Please reconsider.
Well, that's our playtime. I bring that out.
That's that's really inside baseball. One time we interviewed this guy by the name of Captain Bayonne, and he was he basically walks around Bayonne, New Jersey as this mock superhero, if you will. And he tries to do like good deeds and fundraising. It was actually a really fun interview, but it was also like at an early time in our cast. We were like, excited about like the prospect of even getting guests, so we like did some really interesting planning, and we made Mike Captain Bayonne's villain,
his nemesis, Jersey City Joker.
And so I was like, look, I want you to be the Jersey City Joker, and then Mike came up with like seven other like of his henchmen. There was the girthy,
girthy girdle twins, where their whole goal was to like unhook their girdle, and they're so fat, like it would come out so fast that it would like slice his head off.
Oh, see, I misinterpreted that all this time. I thought that they were so girthy that like their girdle broke and like shot something across the room. That's what I was.
No, well, they're evil geniuses, so they know when to unhook it.
Right.
If they're doing a dastardly plan, if they're like doing a bank heist, they can't have their girls just explode and kill off some of their henchmen.
Yeah, do you? Jersey City Joker was the main guy. Girthy Girdle Twin. Do you remember any of the other ones?
Lardo Calrissian. I believe my only explanation was he was a black guy in space. He was a fat black guy from space.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me laugh still. Oh, I'm going to go back to that episode. I got you. Have you ever been tempted? Do you ever re-listen to anything? I have not re-listened to anything in the long. Early on, I would like listen to our episodes and scan through them. Now I'm like, I get them edited and I never hear them again. Ever.
From time to time, I might just pop in one, like as I'm going through. Like if I'm on a drive-in podcast or going through, like sometimes it'll. Like ours will pop up and I'll just leave it on. Yeah. It's funny how like the wife, she's so happy that like Toby Philpott friended her on Facebook. For those who didn't listen, Toby Philpott was a puppeteer who did Jabba the Hutt, Audrey 2, and so forth. And my wife's a big star.
His name almost sounds like a character he would puppet. Like, oh, I'm Toby Philpott. Like, you know, like. Yeah.
So she's been getting into Star Wars. She's been a huge Star Wars fan. And like I said, I friended Toby on Facebook. And she's like, man, I'm so jealous you're friends with him. I'm like, just friend him. He's a nice guy. He'll likely do it. And he did that. And we were talking about something. And he's like, I sent him the link to the podcast. And I said, my wife is so appreciative. You talk to her for a minute. He's like, well, if you want, when I have time, I'll send her something. And he sent this Jabba the Hutt little picture that he signed off on it, and she's so happy and she tells everybody about it. And one day I just turned to her, I'm like, out of curiosity, did you even listen to the podcast? And then it's like this look like, I'll do it now. I'm like, no.
Yep.
That's not like thank you and being excited. That's you just like, oh crap, I called you out on this.
Yeah. My wife has now not listened in 250 episodes. The last thing she checked out was episode 250. I think she was over my house when we recorded it.
You mean episode 50, if it's 250
episodes. That's what I mean. Yeah. She hasn't listened since 50. It's been 250 episodes since.
Which had the most epic art that we put up there and all of you shirtless on a horse and imposing myself on a horse with my collared shirt.
That wasn't why do you got to say imposing like that with Photoshop? You remember when I got the horses and the photographer? I put a lot of money into that. I don't really like that you try to cheapen it. This is again why I'm kind of mad at you.
Well, listen, I don't want our fans to know where you and I vacation, because the second they find out like what island we were riding horses on in the ocean, they're just going to show up once. Once this pandemic is gone and we go on our buddy summer vacation,
our yearly horse ride where we discuss business. Yes.
I don't want people to be like, "Yo, that's Ecuador they're at," and like everybody gets flights down there, and like all the hotel rooms are, you know, flung with Verbal Shenanigans fans. We won't be able to like just walk on the beach because all of our fans will be asking for autographs.
I mean,
and they'd be like, when are you going to do the horse picture? And it's like, that's not every vacation, bro.
Yeah, like most podcasts or businesses, they'll do meetings over dinner or Zoom or over a drink. We do our yearly Verbal Shenanigans horse in the ocean meeting. Like, we always do that. So, you know, I thought it kind of cheapened that you said you were superimposed onto that. That's all I'm saying. I had to get it out there.
All right. Well, here's the thing. I was fatter back then, so I didn't want to take my shirt off. That's why I was wearing a collared shirt, and I didn't want everybody to remember how fat I used to be. Gotcha. I lost a lot of weight since then.
Right.
So I figure if I said, you know, you Photoshopped me into there, I would have a leeway, but Now I'm starting to question from your side our friendship, not letting the fat thing go down, you know?
So you're saying that I only post the fat horse pictures. I didn't post any
exactly
the modern skinny ones.
Yeah, I got some good calves right now.
Do you?
I would really love the audience to see them, but no, you're like, oh, my wife's pregnant and there's COVID. We can't do the horse picture. I'm like, that's typical Scott.
Listen, why don't we do it this year? We'll do it a little different. I'll rent a horse in Jersey on the coastline. Okay. And you rent a horse in Georgia on the coastline. And we just trot it up the coastline till we meet probably somewhere maybe in Maryland.
It would probably be North Carolina. I think that was the halfway point somewhere in there.
All right, maybe you ride a little faster than I do. I don't know. We just FaceTime until we meet each other on horseback. Like we just okay. I'm getting closer.
I understand you know the fierceness of Georgia horses, but it's still a little unfair that I'm going a little further up while your tame freaking Jersey horse is taking its sweet time.
Listen, you know, odds are my Jersey horse probably has lung cancer. So leave him alone a little bit and let him take the breathing breaks he needs, okay?
I think that'd be a great reboot of Mr. Ed. He's a Jersey horse with lung cancer and his last trip is
Italian the attitude. He's just like, hey, I'm a horse here. Hey, oh. You know.
Hey, what you looking at? Hey, why don't you go behind me, you know, so I can kick your teeth in? Oh.
So in actual real world news, like yesterday, 2 days ago, I was able to go with my wife. I have missed basically all but the first appointment when we found out my wife was pregnant. After that, COVID came, and they weren't even allowing spouses in, so my wife would have to go by herself to all the appointments, which is kind of a bummer, you know? It's like, you know, it's our first kid. Like, I want to see the scans and hear the heartbeat and all that, you know, amazing
stuff. Yeah, you want to do that now, because when the kid's born, you're going to just totally ignore it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of work in those kid things, so you just wanted to show the work early on where she's carrying it. And he's like, I was there with you.
Yeah, now
you might have to take it to like a baseball game or something. Like,
listen, babe, I got to do my 3-week horse ride to meet Mike in Annapolis. Yeah. So.
Daddy, can I come? No! You were not part of the deal when we started this podcast, okay?
Yeah. So I did finally get to go to the 20-week scan. So we're at the halfway point, which is pretty interesting. And things are lightening up here in Jersey as far as the COVID restrictions. In fact, I think today I was listening to the update, and they said there was only 33 new hospitalizations, which is a huge, huge drop from what it was. It was like thousands per day a couple weeks ago. So 33, and it was all in South Jersey, which is interesting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's considering you guys were right. I mean, not at the same level as New York, but you were basically trending the same way. Yeah. I mean, 33. It's excellent.
I think a lot of it has to do with the heat, man. I really do. It has to do with the weather. I don't know. Yeah, and you know, I'm sure the social distancing definitely helped and whatnot. Are there some silly ass rules in place, like some things that totally contradict themselves? Absolutely. It's like, we're allowed 800 people in Target, but not 4 people in the local store that sells candles. It's like, you know, like, you know, come on.
You get so pissed off when you get in that candle line, I swear. Every time, and all you're texting me, I'm like, yes, Scott, I know. You have to wait 15 minutes for sandalwood.
So I did get to go, and what a crazy experience. It's called a nuchal, like a 20-week nuchal scan. And, you know, they start, and we walk in, and, you know, Alex lays on the table, and, like, first thing I thought was amazing was, you know, like, you see, like, the sonograms in the movies and stuff like that, and they put the jelly on, like, the stuff on this. The thing I was shocked about was the amount of goop they threw on her, man. It was like, you know, first she goes, like, a squirt out of, like, a ketchup container, you know? Mm. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she's like, and then like another squirt, like just like the amount. It was the equivalent of, I would say, a half a Heinz, like a half of a Heinz bottle worth of a goo.
Were you like, you know, why don't you have some baby with that gelatin lotion, huh?
Yes.
Maybe she's like that one at the barbecue that like just like puts like mounds of mayonnaise on her burger. We just like, come on, you taste the beef, all right?
Yeah, it was a lot, man. But so the scan starts, and this little thing is like amazing, man. It's like. Like, the sonogram was cool the first time. You just see kind of like the, you know, the egg and like the little baby inside the egg, and that was cool. This one is like a 3D scan of a baby, and you're watching it on the TV, and you're like, wow. Like, it feels like it's huge, like, because it's on a big screen TV, but really the thing is like a couple inches long. We could measure it apparently at 1 pound, 2 ounces. So you're thinking of a 1 pound thing is not a lot. And this woman was like amazing. She was like typing on this machine, scanning things. Oh, like there, boom, there's the leg, there's the ankle bone. You could see like individual bone. There's the foot, there's the kidney. It was like, I was like, how do you do that fast? She's like, well, you know, it's like anything I've done. You know, thousands of these. I'm like, yeah, it's amazing. Like, it's so like, I don't know. Remember when you saw, remember the movie Minority Report with like with
a little bit.
And like he had like the touch screen that, and I remember at the time that seemed so advanced, like where he was able to move screens around, and now it's like that's really close, like to be being done. Like that's, in fact, it's like I bet you they already have it, like where you could pull screens and zoom with your hands. And that's what it kind of felt like. She was like scanning things. Like, boop, 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 boop. Oh, that's the measurement of the head. Boop, 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 boop. Like, oh, that's the measurement of the arm. Oh, let's turn it around. And like, the baby's head's down here. And like, the scans are like unbelievable. She's like, let's check out the heart. And like, you see the heart and you see like all four chambers of the heart opening up and like blood flowing in. And it was like remarkably amazing. I was like kind of like stunned. I couldn't like wrap my head around that this little machine can do that.
We come a long way versus the times where we just told the lady, hey, go into the ocean and I'll pop it out. You'll feel better doing that.
Well, which that's actually me and Alex's birth plan. You know,
DTF, giving birth. All right.
Right. We're doing October, which is a nice time down the shore, actually, especially with the hot fall months. So I figure I get a little beach time. You know, she does the birth thing and, you know, kill two birds with one stone.
See, here's the good thing. If you go to the right city and you give birth, you will guarantee your child will never be called a Benny. And that is one of the most important things of a New Jerseyan, to never be called that when they go to the beach.
Right. And for those listening all over the world, the Benny is like a... It's like a transport, like someone who's not originally from the shore, someone who's visiting.
Yeah. Yeah, that is probably like, if there was a racist term for somebody not from Jersey, that would probably be the best one. We use other ones in Jersey, but I digress.
Yeah, so it was like this amazing, like it was kind of like almost emotional in a way, not because like of what I was saying, but like, because I hadn't gotten to see anything over the last 20 weeks, really. So it was like, finally, like I could feel like part of the pregnancy, kind of like it almost felt like Alex was going like, oh, I'm going to my pregnancy appointment, see you later, and I'm sitting here like painting or all right, cool, you know, let me know when you get back, you know. It's just like,
she comes back, you're like, is it still in there?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because like I would say her pregnancy's been very good from the horror stories I hear, but there's still like these emotional outbursts over you know, nothing. And it's like, you know how like you wake up in the morning and...
Yes, I know how to wake up in the morning. Continue.
Yeah, unfortunately. You know how you wake up in the morning and you feel like the skinniest of the part of the day? You always feel like the fittest. Like when you first wake up in the morning, 6, 7, 8 a.m., mm-hmm. you feel like, whoa, I'm like, I'm ripped, man. I look great, you know?
Of course.
So the same thing we're noticing, like Alex will wake up and like, like she's only carrying like in her stomach. Like it's not like everywhere else. So like her belly, like in the morning will look like kind of small. And I'll be like, you know, like the baby's looking small this morning. And one morning I said, baby looking tiny. And she was like, went into like a freaking panic, man. Like, oh, you think, you think it's still there? But I'm like, oh, yeah. No, yes, it, you know. And it's like, oh, crap. Like, I didn't mean to do that. And then, like,
you're coming up with stuff, honey. It's cold in here. Maybe the baby shrunk.
Yeah.
We discussed this when we first dated. Remember? Mm-hmm.
It's never warmed up down there, but, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it's funny, around, like, you know, it's like every day, like, around, like, 3-4 o'clock, like, towards the end of the day, the work day or whatever, like, her belly always, like, expands. It's pretty interesting. I don't know if it's because of food or gas or digestion or maybe, like, laying upright, like, kind of, and then, like, standing after. I don't know, but it's weird. I do get the gamut of emotions. But it is a pretty amazing thing to watch.
I mean, you could find out things like read books and stuff like that, but it's better just to freak out the wife in the morning. You know, it's
right.
You know, it's your little entertainment. I mean, that's what I still love about you and all. You did that to freak out Alex, so you had a story for the podcast. So you're starting to move back up in the buddy trail to me.
Yeah. It's like, I was like, damn, as soon as I said it, then I'm like, oh, man. Like, especially, like, we've been through, I said it on the show before, so it's not new news, but we had a miscarriage, like, earlier in that year. So I think, like, you know, the wife is, like, hyper alert to, like, you know, every little thing. So I'm like, damn, that was really stupid. Why did I say that? Like, oh, he's looking so small this morning as opposed to last night. Like, stupidity always wins, man. Stupidity always shows back up.
See, if I was in that doctor's office with that computer, I'd probably be playing around, like trying to circle around, see things, and honey, look, it's our kid's butt.
Mike, this is exactly why that scenario will never happen. It will never happen. You will never be the doctor in a room with someone else's baby.
See, I was kind of off the air, like, I mean, you married a friend. I was going to do the same thing. Like, I was reading a couple books, and I was figuring I'd be a buddy and, you know, help Alex give birth to your child.
So you were planning, like, okay, day of birth comes. She gets rushed to the hospital. We go in, right? And they're like, oh, this is your room or whatever. And you, like, would just come stumbling out of the back room, like, in full scrubs, and be like, hey, guys.
Like, I would make it a surprise. Like, I would have the mask on, I'd have the mask over the head, and, you know, I'd be talking, and I'd be looking at your eyes, and we'd be like, that voice sounds familiar, and all. I don't recall remembering this doctor before in my life,
right.
But, oh, well, he must be the doctor at his hospital. And then, like, you know, after I say push a couple times, and all, I'll probably bring up, like, I'll give you small clues and all. I mean, I'll say something like, well, I hope this kid loves dogs and all.
Yeah.
Or something to that effect.
So you're thinking that when she's in mid-labor giving birth, mm-hmm. she's going to pick up on all these nuances of Berlew jokes. Like, oh, I hope he loves dogs. Little Dukes of Hazzard reference on the second one.
Yeah, and, you know, as she's, like, in agony from natural childbirth,
right.
She'll get a little smile, like, wait a minute, who's down there?
And then, like, the baby's head will be halfway out, and she'll be halfway through, and you'll laugh, and I'll be there, and then, like, it's the sitcom music comes on, like, da-da, like, ha-ha-ha, the laugh track comes on, and even the baby's laughing, which really sells it.
Yeah, like, I would pop up, and I'll be like, it's a boy, but my head would pop up from the covers, and you're like, Berlew!
Wow, I gotta say, this might be one of our stupidest episodes we've ever done. We have approached level 10 levels of not knowing what to talk about after 12 weeks in the pandemic or whatever the hell it is. But
yeah, we need sports to be back. Thank God everything's coming back.
It is.
We really need to talk about NBA and NHL, people. We're Well, we're to this point.
We can get to that in a minute, but I think it's definitely guest time. This one's unique. I'm kind of excited about this one. Berlew, who we got?
Tonight, Scotty, we are going to be speaking with Grammy Award-winning musician Dyson Knight, member of the band The Baha Men, who you may recall sung the very popular song "Who Let the Dogs Out."
I've heard of it.
You have? Well, that's good. We'll have something to talk about with him. So we're going to be chatting with him about the band and his singles career and his whole life in music.
And again, in full disclosure, we did this interview about 2 weeks ago. So this is before a lot of this happened and whatnot. And Dyson was a really awesome interview. So guys, without further ado, here is our interview with Dyson Knight. All right, Dyson, what's going on?
I'm good. I'm chill.
Where are you at right now? What part of the world are you in at the moment?
I'm in the Bahamas. The
Bahamas.
Where we wear pajamas and drink Bahama Mamas.
So, Dyson, nice. Dyson, welcome to the show. Thanks for. I'm Scott. That's Mike over there. Thanks for giving us a few minutes here.
My pleasure.
We've been asking everyone during this time because it's kind of hard to ignore. How's the pandemic been in the Bahamas as far as like daily life and whatnot?
It's different. It's a struggle for us. Some people are handling it well. I think for me personally and a lot of my friends in the industry, the struggle is in staying inside is pretty much just trying to recalibrate how you're going to deliver, your product and how you're going to promote and how you're going to continue to entertain and figuring out the dynamics with recording and video, getting the audio right, getting your quality right. So, but here we I would say we're doing okay in terms of not having that many deaths and not that many infections and outbreaks and whatnot. The government has us on weekend lockdowns. We have curfew at 9 p.m. Every day. Weekend is, you're not supposed to go outside at all. And, whenever you go out, you're supposed to wear your mask and encouraged for social distancing in all circumstances.
Just out of curiosity, how many studios you have in your house? Because I know your wife's also a musician, so that's got to be a battle when it's like, no, I'm bored. I got to get the studio.
Well, actually, we have a one-year-old in the house, so that means nobody gets to the studio.
Nice.
Yeah, she's doing it big, man. I mean, My machinery, because I'm in Bahamas, I do a lot of work abroad. So I devote a lot of the studio time. I give it to her, when I'm home. And I take daddy duties on.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, I think we were talking to a musician last week, Ruthie Foster, and she's an old blues musician who... She's been around for 4 or 5 decades and been Grammy nominated and whatnot. We were talking about how I think, although this pandemic is crushing, live entertainment and whatnot, I think when this does end, I think there will be a huge outpouring of art. Like, I think musicians especially, because they are able to write. It's not exactly the same and collaborate, but they are able to take some of this time and use it to maybe reinvent themselves or to write tunes. What do you think on that?
I mean, there's two sides of it. I think I know a lot of people that are using the time to write because they're inspired, me personally, I'm just focusing on the material that I already had created and how I'm going to market that, because I don't feel that inspired to write, and we work on energy. And a lot of times, for those of us that aren't creatives, for those of us that are entertainers, like performers, we need that energy from the crowd. We need that interaction in order to inspire us to to do a little bit more. So there are a whole bunch of creatives that are just doing nothing right now, and I would encourage them to not feel bad about it. Don't feel bad about not being inspired. Just, you know, use it as a break. You know, relax, meditate. You know, release all of that. Empty out your mind, and then, you know, when everything is open up, and there are some things that, you know, make you smile, you'll have a new energy, you know, a new wave of energy to put into it. So,
yeah, because from the comedy perspective, like there's nothing to write about during this time. It's like, I'm not going to go out there with 10 minutes of quarantine material that everybody else has. You know, there's nothing there. No inspiration.
Exactly. I think that's fine. You know, I think people are, you know, I know for me, I'm that type of person. I don't like to repeat things, you know, and my capacity in the band, I'm the person that interacts with the audience the most. So, and then every time I say something that I know that I said before, I'm like, am I running out of ideas? You know? You know? So, you know, this is an opportunity for people's ears, you know, the audience to have a little break too and, you know, refresh so that you can use some of the same jokes, you can use some of the same lines, and they take it on as it has a nostalgic feel, like, oh, I miss this. Yeah. Right. You know? So I think it there's positives, you know, along that comes along with the negatives. Cause you know, you just, it must be rough for comedians. Cause you know, it's a very shaky line you have to walk on when you're dealing with COVID, because there's so much, you know, mortality.
That, and you can't exactly, like, you can't test material to nobody. Like, music, you could write a good song, and you could play it, and you could kind of do it in the background if you have to. Comedy, the only way you know if it works is you get an immediate reaction from the audience. That's it.
If a musician goes on their front porch and starts playing a song or playing a guitar, people go, oh, that's so awesome, that's inspirational, people clap on. True. Some maniac comedian goes on his front step and starts talking about his wife.
Yeah.
You're not really getting that same reaction.
True. No. Yeah. So I guess it's a struggle for us all.
Yeah, it's just dead at the moment, comedy. That's
more
sure.
So for you. Yeah. You have my sympathies.
That's okay. All right, thank you.
Now, Dyson, like, as we talked about, like, you have a musician at home. Even like as you were growing up, your dad was a musician. Now, I've never heard of this term before, an eighth degree oboe. Can you explain a little bit about that? I didn't know it was like karate with belts music.
Yeah, I got some funny stuff. I mean, well, I think it's funny. Okay, so the not so funny stuff. Eighth degree oboe player, like the eighth degree in music, there's you go from one and you go to eight. Eight is the highest degree that you can achieve in music, and you take an exam to get every level. So in order to be an eighth degree musician on any instrument, and it is specific to one instrument only, you would have to take an exam in England. My dad, he was born and raised in the Bahamas. So someone from England had to fly down in order for him to take his eighth degree. He was a part, this is the part that I find funny. He is a member of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, which in those days, they were famous. I mean, they're famous now because they travel around and an excellent band. I'm talking about clean, the best musicians in the country. And you know, because they're police officers, they would have on their uniforms, their shoes would be sparkling, shining, you know. And the joke that I was learning about a little bit a few days ago, actually, is that they were really famous locally because they had a very hot female fan club. So, and I always used to brag that, you know, my dad was one of the best musicians in the band, and people were like, "Oh yeah, your dad was a star." And then they wouldn't be talking about his musicianship, you know, they'd be talking about how popular he was with the ladies. So I grew up thinking he was this mad musician, when all the while, you know, he was just like someone that the ladies just always ran after. So you know, still proud, but it's a curveball.
Yeah, usually oboe is not the first thing the ladies flock to, so he must have good looks and personality.
Yeah. Yeah, the oboe is a weird instrument. But, I don't think he bragged about the instrument. I think he just said, you know, I'm a musician, and, you know, I can lock people up for you, and, you know, if you want.
Lives on a tropical island, man. Hey, he's got game, man. I'm interested in your dad right now. That's good, good stuff.
Yeah, he's a clean fella still, too, though. But that's where I got my music from directly. But his dad is actually, my grandfather was the person that introduced one of the first Pentecostal marching bands to the country. So we have a deep history in music here locally. Like everyone that knows music, a generation before me knows my family. So, yeah.
So what was your, I guess, not just your upbringing, but your musical upbringing? Like, were you into singing? Were you a piano guy? Were you multiple instruments? Were you producing? Where did you get your kind of your hands on first?
From I was like four, I was playing the trumpet. You know, I learned music theory from my dad. But hard to believe this, but it's true. My dad always discouraged me from making music a career. Like he was like, you know, it's a great hobby. It's good to know another language, you know, music being another language. But he always encouraged me to go to college and get a degree. So I have a degree in computer science.
Really?
Nice.
And the fact that I'm in music is just organic. It's just from being in talent shows and stuff like that.
Maybe he just didn't want you to cut in on his ladies, you know?
Son, you're growing up too good looking, man. I can't have that competition.
He did look kind of young, so I probably would have a play for... I probably could get in on that turf. I probably could now.
So how did it evolve from there? How did it go from trumpet to, you know, what we know from the Baja Men to your soul? Like, how did it go? Where did it go from there?
All right. So, all through school, I'd be in competitions. You know, I'd be the person that they call on to conduct the assemblies and sing the national anthem. And the ladies would say, sing me happy birthday. And I was the popular guy musically.
Right.
In college, I would be in the cafeteria. We'd form little quartets singing. When I got out of college, I actually started working for a resort because most people in the Bahamas work for a resort because the Bahamas is one big resort. And I was in the entertainment department and I started performing in shows there. I learned cabaret style dancing, and I was dancing behind one of the most prolific female artists in the country called Therese Hepburn, God rest her soul. So I was her first male backup dancer, and that introduced me to her producer, who is Kirkland Bodie, KB, who is like one of the biggest songwriters the Bahamas has ever seen. And he found out that I can sing. You know, he put me on a few records. I was recording music in the house with a couple of my friends, and that put me in front of some other producers that people would hear those songs and they'd ask me to join bands. I joined the Extra Band. People see me perform with the Extra Band. That's actually how I joined the Baja Men, because they were short a singer. A singer was sick, and they were planning an Asian a tour in Asia that never happened, unfortunately. Which is another funny story. But anyway, they asked if I would fill in, and I said yes. I was supposed to be there temporarily. There's a lot of death in my history. But that singer died. Yeah, that singer died. And so I ended up being with Baha Men permanently. And then performing with Baha Men, I was sought after by the most popular soca band in the country, Visage, and that's tied into Bahamian having a lot of cancellations. I kind of walked in to Bahamian after Who Let the Dogs Out, after the lawsuits, after the blacklisting, after everything, after the money. it picked back up, but you know, I got on the tail end of that, so I ended up in three bands, also in my solo career, and I guess that's the quick story of it all.
So you've done basically everything. Yeah, a little bit of dabbled in everything.
Fun stuff. Yeah, after all of the fun stuff, all of the ladies chasing me and traveling to Indiana is a crazy story. We went to Indiana one time. We had a certain management that I won't call the names. But they put us up in this castle, sort of like mansion, And the mansion is popular in Indiana because the mansion used to be some sort of brothel.
Okay.
So our claim to fame while we were in Indiana was really that, oh, the Bahaman is at a brothel. So I was like, this is what I walked into. Yay.
Indiana.
Oh, man. So what is, like, the vibe from a singles career to, like, being in a group? Do you feel the same energy? Do you get you have to get ready different ways? Is there anything at all different from when you go up there as yourself versus Bahaman?
Oh, yeah. as Bahaman, it's a lot of red tape, necessary red tape. You know, they have the label signed to Sony. Shout out to Sony Records. And there's a lot of things that you have to get okay. The type of music that you are producing, the level of production on the music, you know, the whole marketing campaign behind the release, getting the video shot, making sure all the ends are tied off, everybody is paid, all of the legal is signed and all that stuff, you know? That's Bahaman. With Dice and Knight, I wake up in the morning and I say, I think I want to sing and release a song today. And poof! By that night, it magically happens. But performing, I'm always Dice and Knight on stage, you know. My energy is always, you know, happy, fun. I like to sell that space that's outside of the work atmosphere, that stiff atmosphere. I like to see people laughing. I like to see people dancing. I like to get interactive. I like to get in your face. I would ask people their names and, you know, and want to connect. So that's always the type of show that you're going to get from me. And I think that's due to my grandfather being a pastor, along with my mom being in the tourism industry. And, you know, I grew up being underneath the desk. I mean, she used to sell tours, so she was always interacting with people. And then my first job at the resort, you know, as an entertainment coordinator, we call ourselves Playmakers. So I'm used to making the play. Yeah, cheesy.
Right. So I got to ask you, and I'm sure you guys get asked this all the time, but when the success of Who Let the Dogs Out happened, I mean, I know in the States here, you couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't turn on a sporting event, or I mean, that song exploded everywhere. What was that like going from, you know, you guys had success before, but to like global, just a song that's everywhere that just propelled, you know, Bahaman became a household name, like, yeah, the Bahaman, Who Let the Dog, like, and different versions of it, and kids singing it, and
yeah,
you see it on late night shows. And what was that like for you guys as musicians from the Bahamas to all of a sudden be like, boom, this is worldwide now, almost overnight, it seemed, here anyway?
Yeah, for me personally, you know, it's amazing. I mean, amazing in a good way and amazing in a bad way,
right.
Unfortunately, because, you know, the Bahaman has been around as Bahaman since 1992. Who Let the Dogs Out was in 2000.
Right.
You know, and it's now 2020. And the band has always been like the type of band that we pretty much, I think since I've been in the band, we've released a new song or two new songs, or even an album. We've done something every year.
Right.
And then along with Who Let the Dogs Out, you have songs like Holler and Move It Like This, Best Years of Our Lives, some real nice songs that did very well too.
Right.
But the minute you get on the stage, you hear somebody say, yeah, Who Let the Dogs Out? It's the last song.
Yeah. Like, you know it's coming. You know it's coming. Relax.
Yeah, it's coming. But that's a great thing because, you know, we still get jobs off the song. You know,
sure.
The song's still popping up in movies, you know. So we still collect a check. And we're not even the original writers of the song.
Right.
You know, it's a cover. And it allows us the opportunity to share the Baja vibe, you know, that I look up to so much. I mean, like, the musicians in Bahamian are who let the dogs out is, like, you know, a lot of people call it like a one hit wonder type song, because we've never done anything bigger. But if you really, really look at it, and if you're really, really honest about it, when it comes to stadium, like jams and stuff like that, how many people have done a song bigger than Who Let the Dogs Out?
Not many.
You know, so it's no surprise that Bahamian doesn't have a song bigger than that, because it's epic, it's huge. But the members of the band, they are crazy talented. Like, they are skilled. Every show that we've performed to since I've been in the band, I've watched the audience have this, like, wow, like, this is great. You know, this is, I'm actually having fun. And this is, and then when Who Let the Dogs Out, they really go crazy. So, yeah, and I think I ranted on a little bit too long.
No.
I forgot.
Oh no!
No, you were saying how it's you were saying it's both a, you know, it's a pro and a con, you know, which yes, I think anyone who, any band or any group who, or even solo artist who has a song like almost that big, where it's hitting audiences that are not even normally there, they just associate with one thing, and I guess it becomes like a thing for you. I would think as a musician, like, you almost want to prove, like, hey, we do a whole lot of other things besides this one song. Like, and you almost got to be like, okay, watch our freaking show first. And then, you know, we'll give it to you, but there's a lot more to us than, you know, Who Let the Dogs Out.
So that's our yearly struggle, you know, just to try to introduce new music and have people not rate it the same way, like, with the expectation of Who Let the Dogs Out, just treat it like a different song.
Like, just out of curiosity, like, after all that is done and you're writing new music, do you go out of your way to make sure, okay, this can't even be even somewhat similar? Or do you ever have to deal with, like, internally somebody like, oh, we got another song that's somewhat like it, where you're like, no, that we did that. This is our time. This is what we do best. Let that just be a part of our culture.
Yeah, I think that the band... At this level, again, Bahamian, we don't do a lot of creating music from scratch. Like, producers come to us with ideas, and writers come to us with ideas. And every producer and writer, I think, wants the song to be as big as Who Let the Dogs Out. So they do try to.
I would too if I was a producer.
True. A lot of producers try to, like, to push. Oh, this, you know, I was thinking of Who Let the Dogs Out, and, you know, the energy and the this and the that. But in all honesty, I mean, like, Who Let the Dogs Out just had machinery, like the type of promotion that had behind, and the timing was perfect. For Who Let the Dogs Out. And, like, the times have changed. Like, people are looking for something a little different. And they have Who Let the Dogs Out, and that's great, but they want something a bit more, I would say, something to connect to and relate to on a real, like, this is a reality world that we're living in right now. Yeah. Like, everything has to be, like, real. You know, people, they're not into science fiction the way that we used to be. We like reality TV. So we don't go for it, but it's brought to us. This most recent song that we released, Take a Chance, is actually produced by a Latin team. So this has a totally different vibe. And again, like, it's surprising to a lot of people, because people be like, okay, this wasn't what I was expecting, but this kind of catchy, you know?
Yeah.
We just take it as it comes, and we try to keep that Bahamian vibe, like I said before, in the production, meaning we try to keep it positive, we try to keep it sexy, we try to keep it so that everybody can jam to it, because that's what we believe in when it comes to our music, bringing people together and having a good time.
What kind of stuff, like, now, where are you at? Are you guys still touring? Are you working on single stuff? Where are you currently at in your career?
Yeah, currently we just did a music video. We shot a music video in Miami earlier in the year. What was it, late last year? I think it was early in the year. And that was just released. That was released about 2 weeks ago, maybe a week ago. And let's take a chance. So we're all out trying to find different ways to promote that record. It's getting some really good reviews. I mean, I'm not at liberty to say, but there are some celebrities and some celebrity talk shows that have reached out to the band in relation to that release. Most of the thing about having being in the band, I'm the youngest member in the band, and the band has been around from 1992, but the guys have been together as another name even before that. So I'm sitting on a 20-year record. So everyone that's in the band are 20 years older. So to say that the industry has changed as long as well as the platforms have changed. So there aren't a lot of members of Bahaman that are tech savvy, you know, that are big on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. You know, they're just cool with, you know, picking up the phone and making a regular phone call. So it's getting our machinery to really promote instead of the band as an organization. Those guys, they want to play music. So they are doing just that right now. They're at home probably tinkering around with chords and progressions and just, you know, practicing and doing what they do. The boss, Isaiah Taylor, shout out to Isaiah. He's probably making phone calls and whatnot, trying to get management. Shout out to Paul to do what he needs to do to get with Sony and our A&R. But the front line, myself, Leroy Butler and Rick Carey, we get on social media. We do a little something, a little 1-2. Leroy is actually getting ready to release a challenge. It's going to be a limbo challenge because he's insane. You got to see him actually follow. I think it's 1242 Leroy Butler or Leroy Butler 1242. In any event, you go to DysonKnight.com, follow my socials, hit me up, and I'll let you know how to follow him.
Give me the views. If you don't want to go to him, that's cool. I'll take all that attention
after me. But he's like Guinness Book of Records type limbo dancer.
Oh, God.
Like,
yeah.
serious like he limbos under bottles, like if you put a stick on top of two beer bottles. And he can limbo under that.
Funny, so, funny. Mike can do that too. He doesn't look like it, but he can do that too. Under,
yeah, he does. I have so much in common with Dyson. I played trumpet growing up. I have a computer science degree. I went to the Bahamas in February. I was there technically, the Disney Island. It's technically Bahamas, I am. I am the world's second greatest limbo dancer. Like, I need the tall boy cans of beer.
Right.
That's my limit. I can't do regular bottles yet, but I'm a coming.
Right. Remember that time
here I come.
You remember that time you limboed under my beer, Mike? That was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing.
I'll tell you what, we gotta look for your video after we see Leroy.
Yeah, Dyson, I want to thank you so much for giving us some time on the show, man. It's really interesting. It's like it's fun hearing the people behind, you know, such a massive thing, and it's cool to see that you guys are keep reinventing yourself and you keep moving forward and doing different things. I know you mentioned your website, but if there's a place for people to go to check you out or interact with you or see what's going on, what's the best place for them to visit?
Yeah, the easiest place is you can connect with me on the platform that you prefer is to go to DysonKnight.com, DysonKnight. And there are links to all of my socials as well as the latest news that's going on with Dyson Knight. Also, go to Bahaman.com. We just launched our new website. So that's Bahaman.com. And follow us. You know, check out the music if you like it. Make sure you hit like, subscribe to the YouTube channels. That's very important right now. And share the music, comment and share. We really, really appreciate it. And we love you for your support. And thank you, too. I mean,
thank you,
guys are doing a big thing, you know, because you got the science to this interview type thing worked out, you know. We're trying.
You're
dressed up for the interview, you know.
Best t-shirt, yep.
Yeah, once Mike breaks his back doing the limbo challenge, we'll be well on our way, and this thing will be taken off, so I can finally shed the dead weight, you know. Dyson, thank you so much for your time, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Dyson Knight, Mike. Dyson Knight.
It's a great interview, and I think this is another example sometimes of when we find somebody and we kind of had a chuckle about it. Like, I remember you're like, you found a guy from the Baja Men, but that's the greatness about it. When you go into it, you're almost, I don't want to say you go into it like a joke, but like you're kind of like, what to expect from this, and it was just a fun time chatting with them.
It's also like the context of it too. It's like, you know, like the Baja Men, like, again, it's the stereotype. You think of like the one song they have, and like it's kind of like quirky and fun, but you don't realize, like, when you delve deeper into that band, they've been a band for years and years and years and years and years, and it's almost like almost like a show band in a way, where they're able to recruit new members and keep that name alive for forever. So it's really interesting. And Dyson couldn't have been a nicer guy. So really happy.
Speaking of years and years and years, so we just had our episode 300.
We did? Was I there?
Yes, we did. Yeah. So do you remember the date of the first episode? Well, I guess legally it's listed as episode 2. Do you know the date when that was released?
I'm going to go with, I think it was January 14th, 2014.
It was January 22nd, 2014.
Okay, so close. Yeah.
Yeah. So, little cute little game I came up with, Scott. I'm going to name some things here, and you're going to tell me if this item is older than the first episode of Verbal Shenanigans or younger.
All right, so it was January 22nd?
January 22nd, 2014.
That's amazing. That's amazing. It's amazing we've been doing that this long, man.
First item, Miley Cyrus twerking at the MTV Video Awards.
I'm going to go with that was after the first episode of Verbal Shenanigans.
It was before. It was on August of 2013.
Damn it. All terrible. Right. All right. Oh,
this is just like our friend quiz. Just terrible. Just terrible. Okay.
Yep.
Thor: The Dark World is released in theaters.
Dark World was the first one?
The second one.
Oh, crap. After.
Again, older. It was November of 2013.
You know, I didn't go with my gut there. Like, to tell you on the SATs, like, go with your gut. I thought it was before, but I was like, yeah. You know, maybe I'm not, maybe it's not as long ago as I thought it was.
Terrible. How about the Seahawks winning their first Super Bowl?
Let's see. That was before Verbal Shenanigans.
It was after. It was February 2014.
Ah, oh, come on. This is going to be tough to come back here. 0 for 3. All right.
0 for 3. I don't know, Scott. The iPhone 6 release.
iPhone 6. Okay. This is tricky because the iPhone 6 is not as far back as you think it is, because they like skipped a bunch of things and went to like the 10 or whatever it is, the X. And I think it's going to be that was after.
You're on the board, Scott.
All right.
September of 2014.
All right. Okay.
Kanye's and Kim Kardashian's wedding.
Oh, man. I mean, I was there. It was.
Yeah, I know.
It was.
You were going to be the best man, but you're like, you got enough attention.
I just had a lot to drink that night. I can't remember the year. Kanye and Kim's wedding. Before.
It was after May 2014. Dang.
One for four? What? One and four.
Yep. Yep. How about Breaking Bad's finale?
That was after.
It was before. September 2013.
Really?
Yep. I was shocked, too, when I was looking up some of these for these
That
questions.
Seems like just yesterday, man. But I guess if you really think about it, like, Better Call Saul's been on for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know?
It's been on for 5 years, and then they had the movie as well, so,
Wow.
It's been...
This just makes me feel old. That's all this does. All this bit does is make me feel like an old piece of crap.
Well, you are, but that's regardless of the point. How about Taco Bell's breakfast? First time Taco Bell had breakfast.
I'm going to go with after.
There you go. You're on the board. That you remember clearly. Yeah. That was March of 2014.
So. Can I be honest? I've never had it. Never had it.
I'm trying to remember if I did. I don't think I've had it either. Like,
not a big fast food guy. But I would try it because Taco Bell was like kind of like it never really missed. It was always the same thing over and over again, but in different forms.
I mean, I'm more when it comes to fast food, more of a breakfast fast food guy, and they're killing it. I mean, everybody's screaming about the Wendy's ones, but
it's funny because like Taco Bell would be like, we had a hard shell taco wrapped in a soft shell taco with blah blah blah, and then the next thing would be like. We had a soft taco wrapped in hard taco wrapped in a. It was just like they had 10 ingredients and they were like, just make something and call it something, please.
They're all the same thing. Like, they don't, like, all right, we're going to ship out to everybody this. You can't make that without this.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you got 10 ingredients, make something happen and just call it something. That's it.
If you're confused, just throw it in the fryer and wait for it to
put
come
some hot sauce on and call it the Inferno version of something.
Just crumble some Doritos in there. Mm. A couple more, Scotty. How about PS4?
That's got to be before.
It was before. Right, November 15th,
2013. All right. I think I'll get three and
two more.
Five, I think I am.
I think you're three of eight. Something like that. So you got
so three and five. I'm three and five. I can go 500.
Yeah. Edward Snowden leaves the U.S.
My gut feeling says that's after. That feels like 2 days ago. But Jesus Christ. Was Snowden during the Trump administration? I think it was.
No, was it? I'll tell you what. I'm going to help you out. Try to get you to 500, Scott. I'm going to give you the other one as well. One of them is older, one of them is younger.
Okay.
So, Edward Snowden leaves the U.S. and Robin Williams' death. One occurred after the show release, and one occurred before the show release.
All right, Snowden after, Robin Williams before.
Should have switched it, buddy. Snowden left in May of 2013. Robin Williams... suicide was in August of 2014.
God, Snowden was 2013 already. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was during Obama. I know. Wasn't during Trump.
God, but I even thought that was like right at the tail end of that gun. Oh, well, I stink at that. So I think I went, what, three for 10?
3 for 10.
All right, 30%.
That was still better than my percentage on our friend quiz, so I'll give you credit for that.
Well, you're not a good friend. We've established that. That's what it is.
Well, if you knew our past, if you knew that PS4 was older than Verbal Shenanigans, maybe we could be friends again.
I got to say, I guess a quick segue, and then we'll get out of here. Speaking of friends, I'm friends with...
you're not.
Instagram and Facebook or whatever. I'm not going to give out his name, but... I have a, someone, I'll just leave it at this. Someone who is somewhat related to one of my family members' marriages. So they married into something, and this person is part of that. That's all I'm going to say. That's basically what I
keep. Legally, they're part of the tree.
Right. They're part. They're there on one of my siblings' trees. Yeah. Is all I can tell you. So this guy, okay. Now, this guy is he's a doctor, right? And a very smart guy, I guess, but he's a gigantic hippie. Okay, like
okay.
A hippie to a point where you're like, oh my God, like when is enough enough? Now, this guy has like peace tattooed on one knuckle, like you know, like the you know, on his knuckles, and then love on the other one.
What letter does he leave out for peace after?
I don't know. I guess maybe he does on the thumb too. I'm not sure. Or I think it's okay. Peace and love. Maybe it's love and whatever. It doesn't matter. But this guy is so he's like all into this like drug mentality, like tripping and tribe mentality, like going to Peru and taking ayahuasca and raising his kids in like a village, and he's not married to the person that I know connected to my family. So they have a kid together, but they're not married. Okay?
Gotcha.
And I don't think there's any intention of that, which is fine. I don't that doesn't bother me at all. But he's really into
God will judge him, but continue.
Damn God. He's into this like ayahuasca experience, and you go and you trip and you have a bunch of weirdos living with you. But yet he's like this doctor, and he's like a pain doctor or whatever. And he apparently has like a successful business. But I've been going through like some of his Instagram stuff. I thought maybe this might be kind of interesting. I just got to pull it up here. No, he's a nice guy. He's just very, very, very strange. Okay.
Okay.
Like he'll come like over to
entertaining strange or like ooh stay away from him strange.
Maybe a little bit of both
in the middle. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He like comes to parties and he's definitely like baked out of his mind or has eaten a bunch of edibles and he'll eat a ton of food and just vanish or. Like one day, he decided to put on his wife's leggings and just like hang out in them the whole time. It's just very strange. So here's one of his posts. Okay, here's the one I wanted to pull up. Okay, instead of pushing through, like he was talking about how some he was having some issues mentally and how he couldn't focus and he was feeling very quarantine-y, you know what I mean? Like kind of locked down and. So he said, instead of pushing through, I sat here to meditate. I found some shamanic drumming on YouTube and sat for 101 minutes straight.
141 minutes, okay.
101.
So 1 hour, 41 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. Haven't done this since I did a 10-day Vipassana meditation 7 years ago. 2 to 3 hours a day of meditation since this pandemic has allowed me to reap enormous fruit from stillness. Now, in the back of my mind, okay, he has a baby is less than 2 years old running around. Now, I picture him out in the backyard just meditating and playing tribal drumming and the baby's just doing whatever the hell it wants. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Brillo, if I post one of these, please just kill me. I can now change. This is where it gets weird. This is where it turns. So, okay. So, right now I'm reading and I'm like, okay, he's into the meditation thing. That calms his mind. No problem. You know, whatever. I don't care. I don't have a problem with that. I can now change my brain waves from beta to alpha in 10 minutes.
Oh. Okay.
Brother, any idea how to change your brainwaves from beta to alpha? Or what beta or alpha brainwaves are?
I like spitting ideas out there. Maybe it's something to do with like the electrodes in your brain and using the other hemisphere versus the other.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I'm really saying, but it sounds like a good guess.
Yeah, I'm thinking like one is from like, one is like making your own thoughts and one is like accepting other people's thoughts. Like the beta, like the alpha is like making thoughts. I don't know. I have no idea. Now this is where it gets even weirder. Sitting, I had a vision of a female warrior from a ninja clan who adopted a small female child.
So this is TMNT, is what you're basically telling me. The right. Foot Clan is. Wow. Okay.
That's where it turned. It went from I'm meditating, and then I saw a ninja, like with a female child. Like, doesn't that just throw away like any like okay, I'm just kind of with you. I'm meditating. I'm seeing my thoughts, and I'm being like kind of calm and trying to calm myself down from the craziness. And then I saw a ninja, and that changed my life.
Like, I'm just imagining this guy saying, like, some hemp shorts, no shirt on, you know, his legs are crossed, he's meditating, he's getting, like, visions of colors in his head. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, Jean-Claude Van Damme just pops out of nowhere and just goes Bloodsport.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, to end it, he's like, WTF, a psychedelic vision without plant medicines? Question mark. And then he ends it with, I felt like the young girl was a version of myself I neglected. So the young ninja girl, Berlu, was something he neglected. Have you ever...
All right, I'm trying to figure out what each thing could.
Maybe you need some drugs drugs to understand. Let's do an episode, Berlu Takes Peyote.
If I didn't need a job, I would totally look into that. But
see, now I'm too scared, man. I'm too scared. Like I don't know, man. I've always been scared of drugs because I don't like to be out of control.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's my one concern point. Like I've had depression in my life, and I've also had like I've had nightmares and stuff. The last thing I would want is to put some substance in my system and then like basically while I'm awake live through a freaking nightmare and be like, all right, just 3 more hours to get through this.
That's where I have the problem. Like, oh man, like they're like, it lasts like 6 hours. I'm like, I can't even imagine 6 hours of doing anything like one thing, never mind sitting on a couch just looking at color. And I know some of it's probably amazing. I just can't do it.
I'd be more worried how I'd feel afterwards. Like, you go through all this trippiness or whatever, then it's like, oh, it's 5 o'clock. Now I got to go make dinner. And I mean, you pretty much shut down your day if you do something like that. You can't just go back to normal life after that. Mm. I don't... Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what the female disappointed ninja means.
I don't know. I feel like maybe one of our guests in the next 2 weeks might be able to answer that. what he thinks that might be. I don't know, man. I don't know how to, like, it's like everything. It's like they just, like, some people just try to go too far from the norm. It's like, what are you trying to prove, man? Like, I don't know. And he posts videos of him, like, on the top of, like, a reservation, like playing an organ, like meow, 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 meow. Like he just puts, it's ridiculous.
Has anybody ever done those drugs and ended up having like the most boring experience in their life? Like they're like, oh man, I'm going to trip balls. And then it's like they envision doing their taxes for 6 hours.
the worst trip ever.
Yeah. There has to be some scenario where like the brain just like goes to a weird spot and you're like, no, I'm supposed to be like riding unicorns. No, I don't want to look at my 401k.
Yeah, my luck, I would take those drugs and I would be interviewing Zap from American Gladiators for 9 hours straight, like trying to pry information from her.
Yeah, you keep on begging her, stop telling us how you were topless in front of John Ritter, okay? We want to talk about American Gladiators. What was Malibu like?
Yeah, like what was the competition like? What was the thing? Like, that was a bad interview. But tonight's episode was a good. I'm gonna read this guy's tweets like or post like every week. I think I'm gonna see if he puts out anything crazy. Like he'll put out things like I am the like he'll put videos out where he's on Instagram being, I am the eagle. I see all. We are all together. I appreciate you. You appreciate. Today he posts something like, most families have a mom and a dad. My kid has a family of like 5 to 8 to 17. It's a tribal mentality. It's okay.
Any bets on how good of a life that child's going to have? Out of curiosity, like, you guys play some bets in the family?
Yeah. Or how many drugs that kid's going to be doing by like 12 years old, you know? And he's the kind of guy that would be like, oh, the kid should experience tripping too. Like, I would not put it past him at all. So, it's...
So, basically, don't eat that fifth birthday brownie is what you're telling me.
Right. Yeah. Don't eat the cake at that kid's party. But, Berlew, I think it's time to put a bow on this one. Another great week of verbal shenanigans as we approach the next 300 episodes. I mean, if this pandemic keeps going on, we're gonna be there by the end of the year. So,
Scott's not gonna go to his child. He's just gonna go 2-a-days.
Oh yeah. It's like old school training camp for the NFL. But anything to promote.
I'll promote a little brewery I came across the other weekend. It's Printer's Ale Brewing Company. It's in Carrollton, Georgia. They have a beautiful setup there where right now the tap room is closed for situations, but they have basically an entire park in the back of their brewery. So literally there are families 20 feet from each other. There are you have seating, you have cornhole that people are playing. Everybody's at a safe distance, but everybody can see each other, having a wonderful time. Beers were excellent. I had a pumpkin beer in the middle of May, Scott.
Ah, all right.
And it was absolutely delicious. How good is it when my wife says, I drank your beer and I actually like it? That's one of the biggest compliments in the world. So check them out, either their canned brews or go to their brewery. It's called Printer's Ale in Carrollton, Georgia.
Very nice. And I will promote, since we are in the business here right now of promoting African-American artists and during a time of this so you can buy their art, I will promote a guy by the name of Intel was on our show the first episode of last year, or technically the last episode of the year before. Doesn't matter. It was the New Year's Eve show. He has a new song out. It's really good. And I'm just struggling to find it, but whatever. He's got a new song out with the Next Generation Wu. He is the son of Yu God from Wu-Tang, the Wu-Tang Clan, you know, that small band. But he just put out a new song, and they're about to put out an album. So go follow Intel and go check out the Next Generation Wu. They're really going to do some nice things. And that was one of my favorite interviews of the I consider it this year because it came out basically on New Year's Eve. So, guys, that's it. If you think this was worth your time, please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and share our stuff. Find us.
If it wasn't worth your time, do some mushrooms, and then it might be worth your time.
Wouldn't it be cool if like we were really big in like the hippie community? Like, oh my god, you got to take shrooms and listen to Verbal Shenanigans, bro. Like, it's the best, you know.
Scott, we got to bring back Woodstock one more time. I know it incited a riot the last time, but this time we're going to get big.
Isn't it cool that we've had two people on the show that played at Woodstock?
No. No, it's not.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
Doug Clifford and Stu Cook from Creedence Clearwater, by the way. But other than that, guys, we're on all sorts of internet radio stations. We're on a bunch of podcast platforms. I can't go through them all right now because it's time to go. So life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Bye-bye.
Later.
it's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time.